You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
And I am recording, as we do. Awesome. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so, you know, insert bumper, blah, blah, blah.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
This is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave, your bionic ass. Yeah, if you're not on Twitter, you don't know what that's about. Nope. Yeah, I'll give a shout out at the end of this thing to kind of explain what that's about. So online I've got the wonderful, beautiful Rose.
Hello.
And the super awesome, I am not a neo-maxi zoom dweeby, Scott.
That is me.
And today we are going to be talking Time Capsule 1985. Much like a dog and a bone, you give us a bone and we just, you know, we're gonna keep bringing it back to you over and over again. We did the 75 Time Capsule and it seemed to get a lot of good attention. So, 76 will be posted here shortly, and so we thought, you know, let's bring this to the 80s. Which, you know, I mean, it's not really a decade that we really care that much about. You know, I mean, in comparison, you know, the 70s and 90s were definitely a lot stronger. So I don't know, you know, I know Rose and Scott and myself, you know, 80s were like, eh, meh.
yeah.
All right, yes, being sarcastic as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we wanted to do the same kind of format, but this time being the 1980s. In this case, we're doing like we did with 70s. We're going to start smack dab in the middle of the decade. So what we're going to be doing is the same format. We're going to be using our we're going to be looking at headlines. We're going to be looking at movies. We're going to be looking at music and TV shows of the year that we're taking a look at, in this case 1985. There is so much to talk about, specifically in movies, so I'm kind of really jazzed about talking about this year, and I'm curious to see how long we go just talking about movies. We might leave that one for the end, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But what we do with these things is we start off with our headlines. So Rose, do you have a headline ready for us?
Yes, Dave, I have a headline.
Over to you, Rose.
Thank you, Dave. April 3rd, 1985, the landmark Brown Derby restaurant in Hollywood closed after 56 years in business. Never been there. Scott?
Never been there.
Never been, no.
Heard about it all these years, but, you know, never been. Of course.
Me neither. That's okay.
And I think a lot of stars have you know, had their visit there, and I think that's the I hope the food's good, but I think that's kind of the draw to it.
Yeah, I think it wasn't that the one that had all the celebrity photos on the wall.
Yes,
all the celebrities have been they'd signed it and everything. I think the Muppet movie, the Muppets.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. So, yeah.
So, 85 to close the doors. Wow. Okay. All right, who are you tossing it to?
Scott.
Tuesday, April 23rd, Coca-Cola releases a new version of Coca-Cola. Becomes a huge disaster. And re-releases its original formula as Coke Classic several months later, and now is called. And then the other one is called the New Coke. Yeah, I remember when that happened. I remember everybody was up in arms and freaking out about how the New Coke tastes terrible, and you know, so they ended up going back and changing the formula again to the original formula and bringing it back out as Classic Coke. Big deal. Now, I was always a Pepsi fan, so I didn't really care about it at the time, but I do remember it as a big headline from back then.
Yeah, I actually, this was something that I thought was important to talk about too, so I actually had that same headline.
Really?
But what's funny was, I don't know if you caught this, but earlier on in the year, March 7th, the CEO, Robert Woodruff, had died. So I don't know enough about, you know, if that was the issue. Like, were they doing this because that was Robert's wishes? Or was it like, oh, the king's dead. Let's go ahead and try something new.
Yeah.
So I don't know enough about that story, but that was, you know, that's what popped in my brain where I was like, March 7th, he dies. April 23rd, New Coke.
Yeah. New Coke that didn't last very long.
Right.
It actually was really bland. Mm. I remember tasting it thinking, ew, what the hell is this? This could be generic Coke for all I know. Yeah, it was pretty awful.
Yeah, I don't remember the differences because I was a Pepsi person myself. I still am to this day.
Oh, I'm definitely Classic Coke.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Love that stuff.
I did drink Pepsi for a while, and then I jumped ship. I'm a Coke drinker.
All right. Mm. So is it over to me?
Dave, what do you have for us tonight?
February 15th, the World Chess Championship match in Moscow between Anatoly Karpov and Garry Kasparov was abandoned due to psychological strain. The match was resumed in September. So between February and September, they put this match on hold because of psychological strain. I played many a chess games, people, and I don't think that I've ever had to stop it for months. So I would love to know a little bit more about this story. But that is just crazy that the game was that stressful that they had to stop it.
Wow.
I mean, this is chess. I mean, let's get real, people.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Because, I understand chess is very strategic, and it's got a lot of strategery.
Strategery. Fun's at Retro Club, where we make up words.
Hey, no. That was a Saturday Night Live bit. About George Bush. So, George W.
George W. Because
he used to make up words, you know.
Not gonna do it.
That was George. That was George
Senior.
H. Yeah, that was Senior.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was funny too. But strategery. Anyway, which you know, it's kind of funny that we can tie George Bush into this because some of the headlines involve him also. You know, going into his, I guess I'm going to do that as one of the headlines later.
All right. So let's toss it over to, Rose. Over to you, Rose.
Oh, for a headline or comment on the mind?
Well, if you want to talk about chess or if you want to go...
The mind-numbing game that is chess.
Mind-numbing game. Ouch.
Well, obviously it's causing psychological problems. I don't know. I never played chess.
Wait, what? Can we back up and what was the date on that again?
Let's see.
February. So,
yeah, February.
Okay, this is good. Keep going. I have more to add about the chess. So,
Rose,
do you have anything else?
No, I was just going to read my headline, my lengthy, lengthy headline.
Okay, let me just throw one little quick thing here about the chess. So in May of 1985, the song by Murray Head, One Night in Bangkok, which is about chess, hit number three in the charts.
Woo! Look
so
at you.
Isn't that a weird combination?
Yeah.
Earlier in the year, there's a chess breakdown.
Chess
and
breakdown.
And then One Night in Bangkok makes it all the way up to number three a few months later.
I'm not a fan of that song.
I never was really either, but I remember it very well. I mean, you hear it on the 80s channel all the time.
You do?
Yeah.
And that's one of those that I wish I had the ability, like Spotify, to skip.
Yeah. I usually switch over to like the 70s channel or something while that song's on.
There you go. That or Mickey. I'm done. I'm like, I'll move on. Luckily, that one doesn't come on very often.
So anyway, just a little tidbit of information there. One Night in Bangkok. Also the same year as the the chess breakdown of 1985.
Well, that's really cool that we have like headlines that are kind of intermingling with each other. That's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I just happen to, I'm scrolling through this whole list that you sent us the link to, and just right in front of me is One Night in Bangkok as we're talking about chess. I'm going, oh my gosh, there's a tie-in right there.
Linky, linky.
Mm-hmm. Over to you, Rose.
All righty. Well, in April something of 1985, we left off the date there. Well, it had to be after the 23rd of April because I was going to broadcast the Coca-Cola thing, but I knew someone else would catch that. So this is my backup report for the Coca-Cola. And it's more in my wheelhouse anyway. So many Chinese people lined up for hours to buy tickets for $1.75 to the groundbreaking concert by Wham at the People's Gymnasium, the biggest stadium in Beijing at the time.
You Wham said it wrong.
Wham!
There you go. It's got an exclamation point. Go ahead.
Wham! Was the first major Western band to play in the country after the death of Mao Zedong and decades of cultural isolation. George Michael and Andrew Ridgely danced in big shoulder jackets with bleached and feathered hair. The backing dancers, strapless costumes, and polka dot miniskirts also stunned the audience in China at a time when people still dressed in similar shades of green and gray.
Wham!
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 That is so 80s. That is wonderful.
Isn't that great?
That is.
Yeah.
The talent that was George Michael.
Love George Michael. He was awesome.
Lord bless him.
Amazing voice. Amazing voice.
Scott?
Oh, yes. Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Are you on your second headline, or is this your third?
This would be my second.
Okay.
I don't really have a third. It's all political. No. It's too political.
Too political.
A lot of political stuff. Okay, first of all, 1985. I had the best summer of my life. Okay? It was the best summer. It was the most carefree, fun summer that I can imagine. Me and my buddy worked at a pizza place. I'm going to go on a little tangent, just a story about my life for a few minutes here. So we worked at a pizza place delivering pizza. However, it was such a small pizza place. It was right on the beach. Okay. Right on the beach in Sunset Beach, right next to Huntington Beach where I grew up. And, we delivered pizza, but we really took turns working every other day. But because we were best friends, the other person would just go to work with them. And then we would, you know, like if I was working that night, Jim would just go with me. And then we would split the tips at the end of the night, and then we would go to, a friend's house where we would, purchase something, and then,
and then we
would go to an arcade.
We at Banzai Retro Club do not condone the use of illicit drugs, by the way.
Anyway. I never said anything like that.
Okay, all right.
They were quesadillas.
Okay, all right. Oh, good. All right.
Okay, with green sauce on them. Let's just say that.
Oh, mercy.
They were
code
spiced.
Green sauce.
They were spiced with green herbs. So we would take our quesadillas and we would eat them. And then we would go to this arcade. It was the best arcade in town. And we would spend hours there with our, you know, because a lot of people when you were delivering pizza back then before, you know, you paid for with cards every time. Everybody paid with cash. And they always say, you know, for a tip, they'd give you a couple of bucks and then you'd get to keep the change. So we had bags of quarters all the time. And the place that we went to took quarters, not tokens. So we'd go work at the pizza place. We would go to the arcade and stay up till, you know, midnight or 1 o'clock because we would finish pizza deliveries around 10. And then we'd go to the arcade for a couple hours and then we would go home, and he lived right around the block from me at the time. And we would get up the next morning and we would go to the beach and play hacky sack all day long by the pier and just hang out all day until like 5 o'clock when we had to go to deliver pizza again at the beach. And it's almost movie worthy, you know? it was the perfect summer. It was so awesome. It was like every day we'd get up, go to the beach, play hacky sack, go to work, and then go to the arcade. That's all we did. That was the responsibility level that we had at the time. It was beautiful. So, and that was between my junior and senior year of high school. So it's, you know, 17, just having a blast.
So this is not a news headline, though.
No, this is not a news headline. I just had to go on that tangent, though. I just wanted to share with what 1985 was most important to me, because that's why I don't remember a lot of these headlines.
Sure, sure.
Because I was not paying attention to anything that was going on. Okay? Yeah, I really had no idea. Like, I do remember the Coke thing, because that was during the school year. I was still in school when that happened. But that summer just kind of blurred a lot of other things out. I didn't pay attention to a lot of other stuff. So then senior year starts, the new football season starts, and the Bears go on to make a run to the Super Bowl. And that's when they made their
Super Bowl Shuffle,
which came out on December 3rd, 1985, which they're a little cocky, but they followed through with their cockiness and ended up winning the Super Bowl and later or early the next year. So yeah, the headline, I guess there's no really, it wasn't really a headline that was made, but the Bears season of 1985 is something that stands out to me.
All right. Yeah, I remember the Super Bowl Shuffle. Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, completely not not to form on our usual time capsule, but
no, that's cool. That's cool for adding the flavor as to, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of the headlines I'm reading, same thing. I was like all of what 14, mm-hmm. you know, 1985. So it's not like, you know, the chess tournament thing that I, you know, read earlier. It's not like that even hit my radar. But right. looking at it now, you know, from this perspective, I'm like, well, that's really weird that they would take, you know, months break to, you know, because of a psychological problem, you know, playing chess. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was funny. But I see where you're coming from, though. Mm-hmm. So cool. Then, what is so, that, over to me?
Now to you, Dave.
Oh, there you go. March 3rd. The group Women Against Pornography awarded one of its dubious quote, pig awards to Huggies Diapers. The activists said that the diaper TV ads had crossed the line between eye-catching and porn. I don't remember anything about the Huggy diaper ads, but yeah, apparently the Women Against Pornography had a problem with diaper ads. I thought that was hilarious. I'll have to go back and find out what that was all about.
Yeah, I actually read that same headline and I'm like, well, that's really weird.
It is.
When was that again? April what?
That was March 3rd.
Oh, March 3rd.
Yeah. 1985.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to see if we can actually, like, find the commercial that they're talking about. Because I can't imagine.
Yeah.
A diaper ad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Are you serious?
It just kind of makes you wonder where their heads are at.
Exactly.
Like, isn't that kind of borderline something a little bit more illegal, if that's the way you're saying it?
It's just
weird.
I don't know. Yeah.
Weirdos.
Yeah,
so you'll see people that politically correctness was even predominant back in the 80s. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
Over to you, Rose.
Hey, it's me again. So, my last headline for this evening, it's a little closer to home, no pun intended. June 13th, 1985, a parcel mailed from Oakland, California to Boeing Company in Washington State was found to be a bomb and was defused. It was later attributed to the Unabomber, Theodore Kaczynski. Mr. Kaczynski apparently wanted to blow up Boeing. Darn that little sneak.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty. Hey, I even lived here then, and I don't remember that. So, it goes to show you.
Okay, so there was another headline that had something to do with the Unabomber.
Okay.
And I cannot find it now. I can't remember. I didn't make note of it earlier. I made a mental note because I remember this very specifically.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy that opened up a package, and it blew off like part of his face. He survived. It like you know, did some massive damage to one side of his face. And he like lost vision in one, but it also took off like blew off four fingers on one of his hands.
Right.
Now. Okay, when I read this line, the vision of this was brought back to me immediately because I remember seeing the front page of the paper with this guy holding his hand and like just a bloody stump. And this was like front page stuff, color and everything. It was just like his hand was all mangled, and they put this on the I think it was Chicago Tribune. I know it was a Chicago paper because that's where I was at my grandmother's house when this happened. And I remember seeing that picture and just being like completely just sickened by what was going on. But I had no idea that it was going to tie into the Unabomber, of course, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't figure it out for a while after that. But I remember that image. Like I will never forget the cover of that. Or that the photo of that guy with holding his hand, and it's just a bloody stump, and he's got this look on his face. His face is all messed up, and so it's interesting that you brought that up, the Unabomber thing. Totally image right there in my head. Can see it right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dave?
I found my third headline because you stole my new Coke one, so. June 30th, 1985, James A. Dewar, creator of the Twinkie, died. So this is a special shout out to Reginald Vel Johnson, Sergeant Albert Powell of the Los Angeles Police Department from the Die Hard cast. This one's for you, buddy. Yeah, so, I guess, he wasn't around long enough to see people frying his invention.
No.
Yep.
That's sad.
The Twinkie. Good stuff right there. I don't have that enough, though. Do you guys like Twinkies?
I used to.
Used to? Okay.
I haven't had one in a long time.
I'm the same way.
When they said they were stopping production for a while, or they were stopping production, they said, but, you know, a company bought the
Hostess or whatever it is, yeah.
And re-released it. Right. I hadn't had one in years since before that, you know. So, but I did like them. I used to like them. Especially when you get the ones with, you know, the extra amount of cream in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I really didn't. I didn't know they released it with extra cream.
Well, no, they didn't. You know, just sometimes it seemed like some of them had a little more than the other ones. Or sometimes they had a little bit less.
Okay. Rose, were you Team Twinkie?
No. They were okay. I was more of, what's the one with the chocolate cake with the white cream in it?
Hostess? I mean, Ho-Hos?
No.
Or Ding Dongs? Ding Dongs?
Maybe. Maybe it was. No, because I think it was like a cake with the white, and sometimes it would get really messy. It didn't have like a chocolate outer.
So this might have been just the cupcakes. I don't know if they had a special name, though.
I like the, just to keep it from being confusing. I like the orange cupcakes.
Okay.
Yeah, the orange cream cupcake.
All right.
But I'll figure out what it is I'm trying to say, and I'll shoot it to you. And a text or messenger.
That sounds good.
I know what I'm saying. Suzy Q's. Thank you.
Suzy Q's. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I was trying to say. Suzy Q's.
All right. So, Scott, you've got one left?
Yeah, you know, I really don't have one.
You don't have one? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could talk about Reagan and Bush getting a second term and being sworn in early 1985, but really, I don't have much to talk about. Headline. A lot of that stuff is like disasters and hijackings and killings and
death.
Celebrities dying and people, mostly celebrities that I don't even remember. I mean, other than Rock Hudson, I do remember that being a big thing with the AIDS. Other than that, I really, a lot of the headlines were not jumping out at me. The headline I do remember that might jump out at me was Scott had an awesome freaking summer. That's it. That's all I got.
I hope that didn't mess up the recording, but I was clicking a link there.
Uh-oh.
And it started playing something, so...
Oh, no, we didn't hear anything.
Okay, good.
You know what? It might come through on your side, though.
It will.
When you go back, when you come back to the recording.
Yeah.
Check that little spot.
Yep.
Because I know I've had that happen on mine before. So...
I'm gonna mute my mic for a sec.
Okay. I
have to do some. Be back in a bit.
Back in a bit. Okay.
Yes. Bye.
All right. Oh my god. I really thought that was something I was clicking. Thanks.
pretty good whistling.
Yeah, I tell you, that was great. Where was I? I was trying to bring up the albums, and I had the link up. Rolling Stones' best albums of 1985. What does that do? See, and that gives me like a whole different like albums.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
well, Rolling Stones is more hardcore. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay, Dave, I'm sending you a message.
All right.
Just hold on.
Yeah, you gotta stop the insanity, dude. You gotta, like, get me straight here. Oh my god, we are doing great tonight!
We are in rare form.
Yes, we are.
Okay, try that.
Technical difficulties here, people.
All ding!
Right. Ding!
Ding!
Alright.
Oh, there it is. Now we all got it.
Whoop! There it is! Oh,
see,
that was not nice.
There it is.
See, now, yeah. Once again, no, that's the one I saw before. What? How do we know which is the top five for the year?
Well, you just scroll down and you'll see which one has got the biggest, most amount of weeks.
Oh, so I got to do math. What the hell?
Oh, no, just seriously, just scroll to the end of the year and you will see who had the biggest year. It's very obvious.
All right. Well, I mean, obviously, Brothers in Arms, Dire Straits.
Mm-hmm. And who had the second most?
Miami Vice.
Miami Vice. And then the other ones are kind of a toss-up. There's, you got Tears for Fears, Song from the Big Chair, or Phil Collins' No Jacket Required.
See, and the one that I was looking at before had Born in the USA being number one.
That was only 3 weeks in 1985.
Right, well, you know what? Screw it. We're talking about music here, people. So this is the top albums for 1985. I'm going to list them all throughout the year, and then we're going to just pick apart what we want to talk about. So we went from Purple Rain from Prince, Born in the USA, Bruce Springsteen, Like a Virgin, Madonna, Make It Big, Wham! Centerfield, John Fogerty, No Jacket Required, Phil Collins, We Are the World, USA for Africa, No Jacket Required, Phil Collins, Around the World in a Day, Prince and the Revolution, Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack. No Jacket Required, Phil Collins, Songs from the Big Chair, Tears for Fears, Reckless, Bryan Adams. Songs from the Big Chair, that's Tears for Fears again, Brothers in Arms, Dire Straits, Miami Vice soundtrack, Heart, and their self-titled album, Heart, and once again, the Miami Vice soundtrack. So that's everything. That's everything that was out there during the year, as far as in the that hit the top of the charts. Rose, you're 80s music girl. What was hitting your fancy?
Well, there's one that was on there and three that were not listed. So I'm just going to list them in the order of my preference.
Okay.
You had Hunting High and Low by A-ha, their very first album, which includes the mega hit Take on Me. Songs from the Big Chair, Tears for Fears. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Fantastic album. Mm-hmm. Hounds of Love by Kate Bush. This is actually more of a, to me, it was more of a commercial relevant. It reached more people, I think, than some of her other earlier things that were a bit ethereal and kind of out there. But it's Kate Bush, so she can do whatever she wants.
That girl
can
sing.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing. And she can dance and act. And she's just all around groovy human being. And then ended all with the Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo.
Wow. Didn't see that one coming.
No.
Awesome.
Good album.
It was a good album.
So, what about you, Scott? Where were you? What was your 80s or 1985 top albums?
Well, you know, Purple Rain was a big favorite of mine. And then I like the Dire Straits, Brothers in Arms, too, just for, I think, mostly for the MTV shout-out that they give so heavily in their video. Mm-hmm. Never really watched Miami Vice, so I can't say anything about that soundtrack, even as even though it holds like the second most, held the second most amount of weeks at number one. And then maybe Phil Collins, No Jacket Required. I love Phil Collins. He's always good. But nowadays, I also am, you know, become more of a fan of both Bruce Springsteen and Wham. I know that's weird to say together.
Wham!
Wham? Wham?
Sorry.
I like to replace the exclamation with a question mark.
Wham?
Wham? Wham? Yeah, wham. Wham?
Yeah, I'm with you with the No Jacket Required. That was a good album.
Is that his first solo album? After he left
Genesis? Face Value, I think, was before that.
Okay.
Wasn't it? With In the Air Tonight? Yeah. Yeah, that was In the Air Tonight was the first, I think it was his first solo album. Or Face Value was.
Okay.
Because this one had Susudio and One More Night and
yeah,
Billy, Don't You Lose My Number.
Yeah.
A lot of videos from that one.
Yeah. A lot of videos, yes.
Yeah.
Did this one have Against All Odds?
No.
Okay.
That was, I don't even know if that was on one of his solo albums. It might have been from just the soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to research that one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, for me, the Like a Virgin was definitely eye-catching for, you know, a teenage boy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the just wonderful Madonna at the time, just helping me through puberty. So thank you for that. And, of course, Phil Collins, No Jacket Required, and, you know, we, Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack was awesome as it also, but Reckless, Bryan Adams, that's gotta be near the top of my list. I just love Reckless. So yeah, I even got a chance to hear him, do like an acoustic set of a lot of his old 1980s, music, and the guy is so talented. I'm in awe of Bryan Adams. He's
pretty awesome.
He is. He really is. So yeah, those albums for me, that's what hit my radar.
Yeah, I got to see him do the acoustic also, not too long ago, about maybe 6-7 years ago, and it was just him and I think it was a piano player.
Yeah. I think I may have seen the same show then.
Yeah, this was at the Genesee Theater.
Yeah, mine was here in Chicago. I'm just trying to remember what theater it was.
In Chicago, in the city.
Yeah.
Okay, because this one was in, the Genesee is in Waukegan.
Okay.
Yeah, it was an amazing show.
Yeah.
I mean, really blew me away as one of the best concerts I've ever been to. And it was just
nice. A
very small venue. Maybe, I think it holds maybe 1,400 people. So I understand the draw to that, to that album and his classics from that time.
Yeah, very intimate. You know, it was just him,
his
guitar, and, you know, like you said, some guy on a piano. And that was it. That was, you know, the whole ensemble. And he owned it.
Yeah, and there was like one groupie woman that just kept running down to the front of the stage to try to get his attention. It was really bizarre.
Wow.
Like, you know,
okay.
Yeah. There's one that was really, really over the top with trying to get his attention. Now, she didn't do anything risque or anything, but she was just like yelling a lot, you know, like when it very quiet moments. Hey, you know, just getting crazy.
kept yelling for the same song over and over again.
I love you. I want to wear your skin.
Cuts like a knife. Cuts like a knife. All right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
He's like, I got the set list, lady. I got it. Don't worry about it. Move on.
Oh, my goodness. That's too funny.
All right. So, anything else on music for 1985?
I may have one. I just looked to see. I was going to do an honorable mention. And okay. It totally slipped my mind. And I'm trying to find out, unless you guys know, the Rush album that was released in 1985.
Signals.
Power Windows.
Power Windows, yeah.
Yeah, I was right. Okay. For all you Rush fans out there, Rush family, my husband, anybody that lives in Canada.
Canada, eh?
Yeah.
All right, so let's move over to, you know, I'm going to leave movies for last, so we're going to do TVs next.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even look up TVs.
So the most popular TV series released in 1985, and I'm going to talk about, or I'm going to mention the top five, and then we'll just go around and talk about our favorites. So number one was Golden Girls. Number two was Growing Pains. Number three is EastEnders. Number four, MacGyver. And number five was Neighbors. So, Rose, what were you watching in 1985?
I wasn't watching Coronation Street or Neighbors, that's for sure.
EastEnders?
EastEnders too.
Yeah. I was like, really? EastEnders? And
yeah, I'm like, where is this list coming from?
This is on IMDb, most popular TV series released, 1985.
All right. British people give them their due. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know who's listening to this.
This is true.
Yeah. Okay. We could have a listener in Denmark that says, EastEnders, go EastEnders. So
exactly.
I have no idea what EastEnders is, but hopefully it's a good show.
Yeah.
It's a crime drama romance.
East side of London. Cockney people on a bar and all kinds of, I don't know. I really didn't watch it that much. It's really hard to follow because you get a lot of people with, you know, the Cockney accent, the dialect's not very discernible, even on good days. And it's just throw a whole cast of people in there like that. And you're going, what? Speak English. Oh, yeah, you are. What? Slow down. No, but it's a soap opera, pretty much. It's been on for 100 years. So a lot of people still like it.
Okay.
That Coronation Street, some other shows, a bunch of stuff on there now.
So EastEnders anyway, is still on, though.
It is.
That says something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, people like soap operas.
Yeah, well.
The drama.
That we do.
But, however, my love of TV shows stayed here in America for the most part. Until well into the 90s.
Say small wonder. Say small wonder.
Nope.
No? It's, okay.
Mr. Belvedere.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Berenstain Bears. And Moonlighting.
Oh, Moonlighting. Yes. That was number six on the list.
Yeah. Well, for Mr. Bruce Willis. I actually like the combination of the two. Sybil Shepherd and Bruce Willis. And then the secretary, and I can never remember her name, but she was hysterical.
Elise Beasley.
Yes. Adorable woman. Just too funny for her own good.
And then Booger. Curtis Armstrong, yeah.
What did he do?
Oh, my God. What was his job in the... I know his role expanded like later on in the seasons, but I forgot what his first thing was. I know he was the secretary's kind of love interest.
Okay.
But I forgot what his job was in the actual agency.
Hysterical. It was a great show. And I love the romantic tension between those two because, you know, she's more up and down that she want anything to do with him, and he was never faltered, not one iota, even when she got on his nerves. It was like, I love this woman. or something. But yeah.
So Scott, where were you? What were you watching in 1985?
You know, I didn't spend a lot of time in front of the TV other than MTV. I do know that VH1 debuted in 1985, and probably watched a little bit of that. But I remember I watched Growing Pains. I never watched Moonlighting. So, you know, I was spending a lot of time delivering pizza and having quesadillas and going to the arcade.
Playing Hacky Sack on the beach.
Playing Hacky Sack.
At 5 in the morning.
Yes.
Get it. The memorable summer. We get it.
So I have a hard time remembering a lot of the TV shows. I didn't spend a lot of time watching TV at the time. Other than MTV. So, yeah, I spent most of the TV time was MTV.
Which is understandable.
Yeah.
So some things that were notable that came out in 85 were The Twilight Zone. So this is kind of a re-release of The Twilight Zone. You know,
Rebirth.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those were pretty good. Amazing Stories came out in 85.
That was good. Good series.
My Beloved Thundercats started in 1985 to 1989.
Nice.
Let's see, She-Ra, Princess of Power was 85 to 87. This little sci-fi type show that probably not a lot of people saw, but I loved, was Misfits of Science.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never got to see that.
Yeah, that was Courtney Cox in her just really young years. But for me, it was a fun show.
Yeah.
For those of you that like Robotech, it started in 1985.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For 80s kids, Mask was a big thing. So 85 to 86.
Yeah. Gem. Yeah, my son.
Gem started.
Gem and Hologram.
Yeah, Gem started in 1985.
Yep.
Adventures of Gummy Bears started in 85.
Not really a fan.
And, you know, Knowing Us How to Battle. We got that from G.I. Joe in 1985.
Yeah.
So there's tons of great cartoons that started in 85.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny that you started with Berenstain Bears.
It was one of the... To me, it was like a family show.
Okay.
Even though it was animated. And it was all types of... I was raising kids at the time, so I needed all the help I could get. If I can get morals and values from watching a cartoon, I'm taking it, you know, because being a single parent is not easy. So, and I think they did really well with the Berenstain Bears, you know, because it was relevant to just kids in general. I think just families in general. So, We had some good times watching that show. That appealed more to me than, say, Little House on the Prairie or Name Something, you know, that was set back in the olden days. Because didn't that make you feel as though, not that I'm saying that values and morals have changed in the last 100 years, which, you know, they kind of have, but if things are more relevant to your time, don't you think you could relate to it better?
Yeah.
And say something that was, you know, horse and buggy and churning and butter and all that stuff. I don't know why I never liked that show. I don't know. Just never really appealed to me. Sorry. People out there bashing me for being a House on the Prairie hater, but I don't care.
I don't know why, but that show appealed to me.
A Little House on the Prairie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it too.
I don't know what it was, but it, like it hooked me.
That was like the, wasn't that like late 70s?
Oh, I'm not sure.
When it started?
Possibly.
But, you know, I mean, looking at the list of the top five, I'm a little disappointed that we didn't spend more time talking about either Growing Pains or Golden Girls.
I didn't really start watching Golden Girls until the 90s.
Okay.
I think I caught it mostly in reruns myself.
Yeah.
So. But, I mean, a few minutes before we started the podcast, I actually listened to the theme song for Growing Pains. Because I was like, oh yeah, Growing Pains is on the list. And so I just wanted to, like, reacquaint myself with the theme song. It's so catchy. But, you know, it also reminded me of the conversation we had about 80s couples. Mm-hmm. Because it was one that you brought up, Rose.
Yes.
So it was just like, oh yeah, of course, Growing Pains. And I thought that was going to get a little more play with us, but it hasn't. That's interesting.
Well, I didn't want to kind of be redundant, I guess.
Well, show me that smile again. Don't waste another minute on your
crying.
Show
me that smile again.
We're nowhere near the end. The best is ready to begin.
Oh my gosh.
As long as we got each other.
You guys are so nostalgic.
Like I said, I just listened to it.
Nostalgic romantics.
We are. Hopeless romantics.
Hopeless nostalgic romantics.
Yes. Hopeless retro romantics.
Yeah.
HRR.
HRR.
Hashtag HRR.
Yeah. That should have been our group name.
Hopeless retro romantics.
Retro romantics. That's a mouthful, though. Nobody would be like, what? Hopeless what?
Yeah. Forget Banzai.
Yeah, no.
All right, so TV shows. I think we are done wrapping that up.
Yeah.
So the big mama jama, the elephant in the room, is the films of 1985.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of goodness here.
Yeah.
Just looking at the top five of the popular feature films released in 1985, mm-hmm. Back to the Future,
ooh.
Goonies,
mm-hmm.
Breakfast Club, Mask, and A Room with a View. So, so much great 80s movies in there. And just going past the top five, I mean, you go into great things like Weird Science, you go into mm-hmm. Legend, you go into Rocky IV, you're going out to Better Off Dead, Witness.
Fletch is in there.
Yeah, Clue.
Oh, yeah.
Commando, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. I mean, tons and tons of great. Yeah, St. Elmo's Fire, Lady Hawk. We could go on and on here. A View to a Kill, mm-hmm. Just One of the Guys, Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of great, great movies were released mid-1980s. Rose, what were your picks?
Well, glad you asked. Better Off Dead. Definitely. John Cusack. And Curtis Armstrong, which is interesting. I did not plan that totally because I completely forgot that Curtis Armstrong was in Moonlighting. So he's just a really excellent actor. So he could just he could pull off anything. Fright Night with Chris Sarandon. Love that movie.
Great movie.
Yes. Very, very scary. He's very believable with a vampire. And he's very sadistic, too. And then Lady Hawk, which is a major go-to in our house. I have no idea if it was for Rutger Hauer or The Horse or Michelle Pfeiffer. Matthew Broderick. It was just rented quite often. It was one of the first movies, I think, that once we were able to buy them, that we ended up purchasing as a family staple in our movie household. So, mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent movie.
I'm Team Lady Hawk. I do like that movie. That's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Been a while since I've seen it, though, but yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I have it. I have it on VHS.
That is very cool. I wonder if it's available like on demand.
I'm sure it is. It's fairly popular.
All right. So
I don't know. Maybe Amazon.
Let's do this. Lady Hawk, how much would you pay? Rose, if you didn't own it.
Three.
Mm-hmm. Scott, how about you?
Zero bucks.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Never caught my attention.
Have you seen it?
Maybe,
or come on. Be honest. Come clean.
I don't know. I really don't. I don't remember if I saw it or not. I mean, I remember Michelle Pfeiffer being in it. I remember it being out there, but I don't know if I ever saw the movie.
Okay.
I can't recall.
All right.
Like like Oliver North. I don't recall.
That's funny. I probably go $2. I like it to a point, but I guess not, you know, $3 worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Scott, where are you at with 1985 movies?
Oh man.
Where to start, right?
Yeah. Really? I mean, you got, I don't even know where to go. I mean, Breakfast Club was obvious that's a huge impact on our life, you know, our subculture of the 80s, people that love the 80s, and it's such a huge part of everything that all of us kids from the 80s have grown to love and know for the last 30 years. You know, it's one of the most impactful. And it's very, very powerful and speaks to still a lot of kids these days, about the different types of people that are in school and that you have to deal with and getting to know friends and different cliques and all that stuff. I don't know. I can't emphasize how much of an impact that movie really had on a lot of our lives growing up, you know.
I'd never seen it.
Shut up.
it felt right. Sorry. Go ahead, please.
Oh, you're hysterical.
And then, you know, you have another one which was not as impactful to me, but The Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
You had Back to the Future. I liked Rocky IV. That was fun. You know,
yeah.
The Russian thing. Mm-hmm. Jewel of the Nile. I love that too. That was one of the highest grossing films in the year. There's a lot. Like Fletch was so funny. Chevy Chase was great as Fletch with all the different characters that he plays. Mm-hmm. Man, Weird Science. Oh. Watch that over and over again.
You know? Very, very likable.
How would you like
likable Kelly LeBrock?
Yeah. How would you like a nice greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray?
Oh, Bill Paxton.
Yeah. You know. there's too many. 1985 was a huge year for movies. For movies that impacted us, you know, as youths, the youths. Oh, here's one that I really, really like that a lot of people don't know about is Lost in America with Albert Brooks and Julie Haggerty.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie. It's too funny.
Hysterical. I love her anyway. But yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one. Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Oh, and you mentioned Mask. With Eric Stoltz.
Yeah.
That was a great flick.
Oh, that Cher was awesome. And
Sam Elliott and just such a great, great movie. So I could go on and on for this year, really. Real Genius was 85.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely love Real Genius.
Let's see. What else? That one was Saint Elmo's Fire. You mentioned that, right? Did you say that one?
That wasn't in the top five. I don't know if I mentioned it as I was scrolling down, but yeah.
Yeah. It's really, it's crazy. Oh, here's kind of a hidden gem too. To Live and Die in L.A. That was a great action movie. Willem Dafoe. Tough Turf. A little James Spader.
Yeah. That with Ken Richards.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, it is. You know,
good. Kind of her breakout role to separate herself from Disney. I think
she was so cute. I had a crush on her.
Beautiful hair. Just
love her. Yeah. So anyway, Dave, I kind of stole all the.
Can we save any today?
Well, no. I mean, you were going through like. So many of them, and I was kind of scrolling through. I actually went to the second page because I was curious about what else was out there. Spies Like Us was
really
a great movie. Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd.
Uh-huh, love that one.
Yeah, Gotcha with Anthony Edwards, which is one that I brought up before, but I think you guys didn't mention as much. Oh my God, Remo Williams, I love that movie.
That was a fun one.
That was actually interesting.
See, I think I spent more time watching movies than I did TV because I've seen a lot of these movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the you know, when they were coming out, I don't know. I must have seen them all on VHS later in the year or something. But yeah. Keep going. You got more?
And Mischief, which I'd mentioned before, but I could watch over and over again, just courtesy of Kelly Preston. And this year gave us the iconic phrase, "Who is the master?"
Show enough.
Yes.
Big Trouble in Little China?
No. That was... what was that movie? Last Dragon.
Oh, yeah. My oldest son really liked that movie.
That was a lot of very cheesy, very, very cheesy kung fu flick in the 80s, but just a lot of fun. Teen Wolf.
Culturally, yeah.
Yeah, don't forget Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox.
Love Teen Wolf. I saw that movie way too many times.
Yeah, and, you know, if you were younger, you would have loved Explorers.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
That was kind of cute.
And I had this weird thing that I just really liked Pee Wee Herman. So Pee Wee's Big Adventure came out in 85.
Love that movie.
Yeah. Yes, I know you are, but what am I?
So
everybody always has a big butt. Oh, what's your big butt? I love that line. What's your big butt?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, it's tough not to just go on and on and on.
Yeah, 85 was a huge year.
And that's why I saved it for last, because I kind of figured there was just so much to talk about in here. Enemy Mine. Dennis Quaid, Lois Goss.
Oh, love that one.
Oh, yeah. Great, was excellent. I love that.
Now, if you're into Vision Quest, Matthew Modine.
Did I see that? I don't think I did. It had a really good soundtrack, though.
Oh, it did. It definitely did. Like I said, you know, we can go on and on here, but I think we covered a lot of View to a Kill. Sorry, got to throw that one out there. Roger Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I read something in the news headline that said in 1985, San Francisco was a day in 1985, they were awarded, was James Bond Day because View to a Kill had come out, and Roger Moore was there with the mayor, and so was Duran Duran.
Oh, nice.
To initiate, because it was filmed in San Francisco.
Yeah. So. Yeah, very iconic poster for it.
Yes.
It was kind of like on the bridge.
Yeah, one of the better Bond songs, I think.
For?
Not as good as Living Daylights, but definitely better.
I'm just still scrolling through. It's tough to stop at this.
It is. VHS, the onslaught of, or onset, or however you want to phrase it, of VCRs and VHS rentals just really kicked off a mass hysteria from movie watching. And not only could you watch things that had just come out like the year before, because it took a minute to get out on video after you'd saw it in a theater, but you could watch other stuff that was like before your time that you never, you know, would have seen because they don't show it in the theaters anymore. You know, like all the Clark Gables and the Humphrey Bogarts and Katharine Hepburn, stuff like that. You know, the real classics that some people would say were the precursor to, you know, modern movie making, things like that. So it was a free-for-all, I'm telling you. I can't even imagine how many hundreds of dollars, yay, thousands of dollars I spent renting movies with my kids. It was just nuts, you know, because for one, it kept them in the house, and you know, we lived in some bad neighborhoods, so we were in for the night. So there was just a lot, and there's a lot of, you know, you can go back and watch stuff. Like you see something funny and you go, oh, sorry, why not? That was great. And then you see it again and then you laugh even harder, you know, or something like really action packed catches your eye and you're like, oh man, did you see that dude jump that? Oh, let's rewind that, you know, and you get to see it again. You can't do that in a movie theater. You see it once, you're done. So.
But I want to go back to number one. Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
And I mean, I guess put yourself in that seat. You're seeing this for the first time. Your first viewing, you know, you're seeing the wonderful Michael J. Fox, you know, Christopher Lloyd, Leah Thompson, a DeLorean. And I mean, when you saw this movie, I mean, it was just the best thing in the world. And you know, that was a summer blockbuster, and you know, that set the stage here for just you know, setting the bar way higher than so many other things, you know, that was being released, you know, in the 80s. And of course you want to see it over and over again, and of course you got the VHS. And this was just a phenomenal movie, and it just, it defined the 80s.
I mean we had
you know, our previous podcast, when we just talked about the 80s, we had a DeLorean as our, you know, our social media icon. You know, and, you know, you've got to talk about Michael J. Fox when you talk 80s. Christopher Lloyd was awesome. Crispin Glover was equally fun, even though kind of crazy around the, you know, a little later in that time period. Leah Thompson, I'm still hashtagging about Leah Thompson. You know, it was just, everything about that movie was just magical.
Yeah, it was. It really was. That was like the perfect movie.
And you put Huey Lewis in there, you know, with the soundtrack, and even, you know, doing a little cameo in the movie. Great times. Great, and it defined, you know, just part of the 80s. And I couldn't imagine the 80s being different. I mean, it would be very different without Back to the Future, is what I'm trying to say. So, Robert Zemeckis, thank you. That's all I gotta say. And I still wonder, even though, you know, I've seen pictures of Stoltz as Marty, I'm like, I so wonder how that movie would have turned out if it would have continued on with him. you know, would it have been as impacting?
No.
And I almost think that it wouldn't. So it's probably a very good move. You know, and, you know, don't forget to save the Goonies. You know, Goondocks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so anything on movies even left to talk about, Rose or Scott?
No.
Brewster's Millions, love that one too. John Candy, Richard Pryor.
Wow. That was a good one.
What number is that?
I don't even know if it's on the list. I'm looking at the alphabetical. I'm looking at the alphabetical list. I'm not looking at like the sales or anything like that.
Okay, because
just
know,
stuff, just movies that I love. That's all. Gosh, I've seen so many of these movies for that year. It's crazy. Fandango, Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Ooh, Once Bitten. Jim Carrey.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pale Rider, I think, is on that one list.
Yeah.
So how about The Man with One Red Shoe? Another Tom Hanks movie, and Carrie Fisher, Laurie Singer, Daphne Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, this could be a whole podcast in itself.
It could. Yeah.
Hold on a second. Okay. I need timeout.
Timeout. Holding. Holding. And still holding.
It's only fair I took one.
Yep, I guess so.
Hey, I need to put you guys on hold for a minute.
Yep, okay.
All right. Well, hope everything's okay.
Yeah, I hope so too. This is coffee talk. All right. 1985 movies. Talk amongst yourselves.
I know. There's just so much.
There's a lot of things to talk about there.
Yeah.
I keep scrolling and I keep finding, like, movies that I watch, like Volunteers. You know, Tom Hanks, John Candy.
Yeah, and I honestly can't think. I don't think I saw movies those in 1985. It was probably later on.
Okay.
That I went back and watched them. But I remember seeing that. John Candy, Tom Hanks, and Ruth. Tom Hanks' wife. Whatever her name, I can't remember her name.
Ooh, here's a good Jeff Goldblum one. Transylvania 65,000.
Love that. That was a super duper favorite of mine. Yeah. Him and Gina Davis and Joseph Bologna and
Ed Begley Jr.
Yes, Ed Begley Jr.
Carol Kane.
Carol Kane, yeah. Probably have that somewhere around here.
I think my wife would say Murphy's Romance, but that one didn't do much for me.
Yeah, is that Sally Field and Burt Reynolds?
Yeah. Or Sally Field, James Garner.
Okay. Knew that Sally Field. And she usually was in a lot of movies with Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, she did.
Saw that one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I keep scrolling and I keep finding, you know, things to mention.
Yeah.
I gotta stop scrolling is what I gotta do.
Well, it's hard.
Oh, I never heard about this one, but it's very apropos for the Twitter discussion that was going on earlier today.
Okay.
The Peanut Butter Solution.
Oh, interesting. I've never heard of it either.
Peanut butter is the secret ingredient for magic potions made by two friendly ghosts.
I would not mind watching that.
It's actually listed 139 of the most popular movies.
You back?
I am back. I apologize.
Is everything okay?
Oh, everything okay? We were over, after we got back from our thing at the bike week, we were invited over to our friend's house who were watching. They were watching Bella, our greyhound, for us. They invited us over to have dinner, and so we hung out over there, and our friend Tina was over there, and she couldn't find her key because she actually, we picked her up and she left her key at home. So she was locked out of the house and I had to get the key out of my truck. I have a key for their house because I work. Mike is the owner of the company I work for. That's her husband. So I had to go out into my truck and find the key and get it to them so they could get it, get in the house. So it's all
well
good.
Done.
Everything's cool.
Well done.
We're all good. Great. We're good.
We're good. Awesome. Okay. Doctor? Doctor. Doctor.
Doctor. Doctor. Doctor. Well, that's very apropos. Doctor. Yeah, that, that was released this year.
Was it?
Yeah. Spies Like Us.
Yep. That's kind of what, that's what, right when my wife came home and like I was trying to listen to her at the same time that you were saying something. So anyway,
so and I still do that actually. Doctor, doctor, doctor.
I do too. I still use that line. Everyone. Doctor, doctor, doctor.
And doctor.
Doctor.
I know exactly the doctor you're talking about. That's funny.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Doctors, I need to go.
Okay.
It's been a busy weekend. I'm tired and I need to go to bed. Oh, show me the way to go home.
Way to go home.
I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
All right. Hello. So this is the part where we remind everybody how to get a hold of us on social media. We have a website. It's called Banzai Retro Club. That's Banzai RetroClub.com. On that website, you'll be able to follow us via Tumblr, Twitter. What else do I have out there? Instagram. Yeah, actually, Instagram. I just started to get a little more fluent with. So I'm trying to get you know, posting on that at least once a day. So please do check that out and follow along.
Facebook.
Well, yeah, Facebook. That's another good link. Even though I'm not that good with that, I almost think Scott is better at Facebook than I am. So I almost want to pass the reins to Scott for Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm not doing anything with Facebook, and you seem to be that seems to be your niche. Well, I'm more
much
Twitter
better
than,
at it than Twister. Twister.
Twister. Hello.
Hello.
Right leg green. Right foot green.
So we'll work out the mechanics of that one.
Sure.
But yeah, so the website also has this thing called a, or not thing, but there's at the top of it is the ability to leave us a voicemail. I would love for any of you listeners that want to give us a comment on this show or show ideas, or if we got something wrong, leave us a voicemail. It's very easy for you to do. You can go to the website. You just, as long as you have a microphone, you're able to record your voice and we'll listen to it and give you a comment. There's also links for email throughout the website, so please do that as well. Another thing that we'd like you to do, and this little thing called a review, but Rose tells us about that.
Yes. So we go to iTunes. Everybody with me now? All you iPhoners out there? You go to iTunes. You find our podcast, Banzai Retro Club, and you download it, and you listen to it, and you subscribe to our channel, and you give us a review. And we'll appreciate and love you forever, for however long that is, just because, well, we can. So give us some love, show us some reviews. Like I say, if it's good, that's great. If it's bad, explain yourself. So thank you so much for your participation.
And subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast.
Yes, definitely.
All right, and through the website, at the bottom of the first page, we also have this thing called Patreon. Scott will tell us about that.
Patreon, it is a way to show your support for our show by helping us cover some of the costs involved that that it takes to run a podcast. You know, we have to pay for the website and some other things, and you can also support us by buying T-shirts and stuff from the website, through the website. And so Patreon is something that you can subscribe to either on a monthly basis or a one-time thing. You can get as little as, like I said once before, $2 a month, like the $2 bill that we used to get in 1976. So that's about it. Patreon. Click on it. It's on the link. It's on the webpage.
Cool. And I was going to let this go, but I wasn't going to let it go, but I just remembered that I teased this at the beginning of the podcast and I didn't circle back. I want to give a quick shout out to, Old School Evil, Brian. I dogged him a bit on a solo podcast where I talked about the best retro cartoon theme songs. And this was a debate that was going on Twitter. And it's a friendly debate. Even though it may seem heated at times, it's not. The two of us are really just joking around with each other, having a good time. Brian, I love you, man. And he's got my sarcasm. You know, I'm able to tweet something out and he's right back on me. And so the term that I let off the podcast with bionic ass was because I had give this confession of love to a retro cartoon show called Bionic Six. And I'm probably not as, I mean, I love the cartoon, but it's not like my end all be all love affair that I seem to make it sound like on Twitter, but it's just us having a good time, good natured debate with each other. So shout out to Brian, Old School Evil. Please go check out his blog. That's oldschoolevil.com. If you're into retro cartoons, it's probably the best thing that you could possibly check out. A lot of good stuff coming from him. Alright, so is there anything else I'm forgetting to include, Rose?
I'm going to tell people to be excellent to each other.
Well, I got that coming.
Okay, I don't think so.
Okay. Scott?
That is all.
All right.
That is all.
So, you know, as Rose said, be excellent to each other. We just want to make sure everybody is living by that golden rule and not being jerks to each other. So we like to believe that our listeners are just, I don't know, just being cool, being nice. That's what we want as the club. You're part of the club. You're a listener. You're part of us. Part of the membership of being one of us is just being cool with each other, being excellent. That's what we ask. So please simply do that for us. So since we have no idea when you're going to listen to this, have a good whatever. Good night.
Great. I'll see you guys when I get back from the basement of the Alamo.
Sounds awesome.
The basement of the Alamo.
I love it.
Large Marge sent me.
Ah, nice. Large Marge.
Love it.
Good stuff. All right.
Good night, guys.
Bye.
Good night.
Take care. Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Banzai!
That's funny, Large Marge. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's quick to drop. He had to go.
He had to go to bed.
He had to go. It's getting late.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man. It is getting late.
That is.
I don't want to go to work. Will you do it for me, Rose?
Oh, hell no. I don't even want to go to my own job. You got some nerve, mister.
Oh, jeez, what the hell? He's like, is he texting us? Yep.
Gotta go anyway.
Oops, hung up. Gotta go anyway. Talk to you later this week. All right.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I think he's way better at Facebook than I am.
You know, I think he feels more comfortable. That's more of a comfort thing for him.
Yeah.
Because you're better at Twitter than he is.
Yeah, he doesn't get on Twitter that much, and that's I feel bad, but I'm not including him in some of those the discussions that I start on Twitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I know that he's hardly on it, and I feel bad about that. But at the same time, you know,
honestly, you should ask him. I bet you he doesn't even care.
Yeah.
Because he'll tell you, I don't even go on Twitter or whenever he goes on Twitter. He very seldom ever says anything. I mean, when we first went in, we first, you know, got invited to the Team Hot Stuff.
Yeah.
He was in there for like a day, and then he never came back. So.
Right.
I just think he's just got so much going on that it's just not really his thing. Social media in general, I don't think is really his thing.
Yeah, I think Facebook is more his thing.
Yeah. It's a bit more maneuverable.
Yeah.
So, which is cool.
Yeah, we all have our things.
Yeah.
and I never thought Twitter would be my thing, but I guess I'm getting it.
Me neither. I mean, I've been on there for like, 9 years now?
Yeah. I feel way better about this Twitter account than I did 80s Reboot.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, 80s Reboot got, I think, when I closed it out was, 6,000 followers, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you were more than that because you were way, way be, and you were working it, too. Because yeah. I wasn't even pimping mine, you know, and I had just gotten 6,000. And, yeah. But you are like seriously into gaining followers like every day.
Yeah. But the thing is with all those followers, it was just a number. Whereas Bonsai Retro Club feels like I'm engaged with other people.
Yeah.
And it's different. It just feels very different in a good way.
It does. And that's kind of how I'm feeling about 80s Music Girl. I have the, you know, like the huge, you know, it's 7,000 followers now, but I'm not even trying. But I stay with it for, you know, the people that I've known the longest on there. Now with Dragon's Rose Red, that's, you know, strictly for my music account. I'm not even trying to gain followers. You know, it just happens, you know, because you get involved in a thread and then everybody's doing a Follow Friday and it's like, okay, follow these people. And it's just like, I didn't want it to get so big that, you know, I couldn't communicate with everybody. And I like mass communications. You know, like I'll do a shout out at night to tell everybody good night and feel like the man behind the curtain or something. You know, I like to individualize my communication.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just my timeline now, my thread. Well, my notifications page, I guess you could call it. It's just constantly going. If it's not you guys, it's, you know, somebody in Team Hot Stuff that tagged me on something. And then I've got the lady from Georgia, Amanda James, that's like every single day. She tells everybody good morning. There's like 43 people. Don't ask me how that happened. It used to be like 10 of us, you know. It's like 40 people in this damn thing now. You know, and it goes on all frickin' day long. And I'm not even making that up. So if I get in there and I see something, it's just like, oh, this doesn't pertain to me. It's just somebody liking or retweeting something that I'm involved in. You know, and then they'll say, well, it's always a good day, good morning. Or it's about surfing, or it's about dogs, or it's about this, or it's about that. And it's just like, oh, shit, shut up. I literally have had to mute people. Because they were just on and on and on and on and on, you know, and I just got tired of it. I was just like, you know, you're not talking to me. Just shut up, please. I don't want to hear this. But then I feel bad. I feel like, oh, I'm antisocial or whatever. But then when I go to the smaller page, I actually feel like that's like my out. I go to the smaller page just so I can get away from the noise, you know. But now it's starting to turn into a circus.
Yeah, I, what I do is I use TweetDeck. I don't know if it's a program that you're familiar with, but I mean, I look at it on like my computer versus on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend a lot of time just looking at the mentions column. So these are people that have tagged me in something. And, right. You know, those are the ones that, you know, have some sort of degree of interaction. You know, that right. either, you know, and all the people that have liked or retweeted or, you know, done something with a tweet that somehow I was involved in. It's like, I lose all of that. That's all noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it is. But looking at the mentions, that's where, you know, I'm getting the interactions, and that's what I'm paying attention to.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of great conversation that's going on Twitter now. I just, you know, I said that earlier about Brian, but you know, a Quiet Rain mm-hmm. will jump in there. KR Companion, was involved in, you know, a lot of these retro discussions mm-hmm. and a lot of this fun debate. And it's just, it's great.
It's weird too, because you'll get people, you know, like you'll see the same people, but you'll see some of the people like from Retro Club will be in there. And then I'm thinking it's like people that follow them or people that are searching for certain trends or whatever. And I'll be like, where did that person come from? You know, I'm starting to like tag some people as the conversation stealers. Or, no, it was something else. Hijackers, conversation hijackers. Well, they have no pertinence to what's going on. Nobody follows them. They just happen to see the conversation, and then they'll just start tweeting about it and hijacking and start interjecting their own crap.
So, yeah, I've seen that too. And I ignore those.
You kind of have to.
Or if I'm feeling generous, I'll retweet. You know, because I look at the fact that if I'm, you know, let's say I do a search for a hashtag and I see that somebody's involved in a conversation of something that I have something to add, you know, mm-hmm. or pimp our stuff, you know, mm-hmm. I have no shame. I'll jump in there and say, hey, by the way, I have this podcast out here and here's what we did.
Yeah.
You know, if that gets us one or two extra downloads, then, you know, mission accomplished.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm always pimping us at work. So awesome. We've got a lot of young kids, you know, and they pretty much most of the people know besides, you know, about my music, they know about the podcast and they'll say, what was the topic this week? You know, and then I'll say, you know, cause you get a lot of the younger kids that, you know, a lot of the old people like me, you know, if they listen to podcasts, it's like newsworthy or NPR or some shit. But, you know, on the younger kids and, you know, the 30s, 20 somethings, they'll be like, oh, that's cool. What's your podcast name again? You know, so I just tell them and I say, and they all have iPhones, so they'll just don't forget to leave a review. I don't know if it works, but apparently not. We're still asking for it.
Yeah. It's probably a good idea to actually look to see where we're at for reviews.
Yeah, you might want to. We might actually have one.
Have another one somewhere in there? I forgot.
Let me hit this.
Bonsai. Retro Club. Let's see where we're at now.
Okay.
Come on. It's thinking. Alright. Click our cool logo. We have 17.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah.
What's the latest one?
Let me see if I can.
If it's soon enough, that means people have been listening and paying attention. Either that or I scared the hell out of him. He's like, oh, she's going to come get us and we don't leave a review. I've seen her picture. She looks like she needs business.
let's see. 17, see all ratings. Scroll down to the bottom. Let's see what we got. We have one from February 26, 2018.
Wow.
That's so pretty cool. Nothing from this month.
Oh well. All right. What's the length of time between that and the next one?
The one before. January 13th.
So we're due for another one.
Yeah.
Looks like we get one a month.
Well, no, actually, January 12th, Pancake for Table gave us one.
Oh, that was nice of him.
Yeah.
They're so cool.
So January, and February.
I gotta see when they post their, what is it? They'll include us in the Neverending Story.
That's actually posted. I started listening to the first 30 minutes of it.
Oh, okay.
So they post on, I think, Fridays.
Okay. I'll have to check it out. I'll have to download it so I can listen to it.
Yep, I decided to subscribe to it, so.
Yeah, I probably should do that, too. I should do it on my iPad. Because I don't have an iPhone, I have a Samsung.
Yeah, they're fun to listen to.
Yeah. And I listened to the one with their parents. That was kind of cool.
Actually, how do you feel about Buckaroo Banzai?
I'd have to go back and revisit it, but it was definitely a cacophony of confusion. I remember it being super confusing.
So I didn't. I mean, I hope that I obligated both you and Scott, but I know I obligated myself to be to our next crossover with them being Buckaroo.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I don't have a problem with that. Like cool. I said, I'll just have to. My son recently became a Amazon Prime member, and so he added me to his friends and family list. So I should be able to, be able to watch some stuff there. So hopefully it'll be on something. I hope. You know, I don't want to have to go look for it to buy it anyplace.
How does that work? People. Does he have to pay extra to add people, or is he limited?
I don't think so. I think he's got a limit of who he can add. So he asked me if I wanted to be on it, and I'm like, yeah. Hello. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've never... I haven't made that leap yet for Prime.
Because he and I share... Netflix. We've been sharing Netflix for years now, but I've been paying that one.
Okay.
And I noticed the other day I have to go in and I don't understand what I'm paying $15 for, but I have to pretty much figure that out. So, it used to be like $9. And then it just slowly started creeping up there.
Yeah, just like everything.
Yeah, I'll even tell you. Gouge.
Yep. All right. I will let you go then.
All right, dear. I hope you have a good night.
All right. I will talk to you next week. All right.
Try to hate your job too much.
Yeah, I it's tough.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, dear. But, you know, you have one.
This is true. And that's the...
Mom on you, but I have to tell myself the same thing. You have a job. Because there was a time when you didn't. You wished you did. Now you have one.
This is a good point. You know, it's keeping a roof over the head. You know, I'm able to take care of my family. So, I get that. So
it'll come in time. And it'll be different.
Hopefully. We'll see.
I'm sure it will. It'll work itself out.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
Thanks, hon. You too.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.